Good morning. It's good to be here. Greetings to all our Zoom guests and members who are watching us online. It's good to see you all. My name is Jun Caranto, as Joe said, and I hail from San Leandro Church. We're still a church, although it's a smaller group. We haven't been meeting regularly. It's just once a month, but last February, a lot of folks were sick on the day that we were going to meet, so we canceled it. And we're meeting next week again. But the rest of the week or the rest of the month, we continue to enjoy YouTube video worship service and also have a Zoom fellowship at noon. So how we're thriving. We have two attendees, actually, who used to come to San Jose, Garland Pewitt. I don't know if you remember that name. He moved to Pleasant Hill, and he's living there now. So he attends our group to connect with the church. So let's start with prayer. Dear God, our Father, we come before you again. So thank you so much for allowing us to focus on your words today. And thank you for allowing us to be part of your family because of all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And in his name we pray. Amen. Are you saved? Are you righteous? Are you a good person? So? You know, about 27 years ago, we went through this change in our old church. A lot of you went through that. We experienced a miracle from living under law to embracing grace, just relying on Jesus Christ for our salvation. But one of the questions that I had at that time was, am I really saved? How can I be sure that I am saved? And can I lose this salvation? So in the years that followed, the scriptures that we are going to study today, Romans 5, was one of the Bible passages that helped me be secured, be insured, and just relaxed and rest on the good news that Jesus Christ has done for us, the gospel. This passage in Romans 5, verses 1 to 11, is grace explained. This is the Reformation passage, and it's by faith alone, by grace alone, by scripture alone, through Christ alone. That's the center of the Reformation movement back in the 1500s. Paul wrote this book to communicate the grand themes of God's grace. This is the gospel. This means good news, not only for a few, but for all people, for all mankind. The gospel is about how God has acted in the world to rescue humanity from sin and death through the life, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning, I just want to review these passages together and see again the many blessings that we received through our Lord Jesus Christ. And with this reminder of all these blessings, we can continue to move on in this life and be encouraged and have a stronger hope for a wonderful future. So starting in verse 1 of Romans 5, we see Paul wrote, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith." Now, Paul is a logical writer. He writes beautifully, and he's an excellent writer of the scriptures. And he has these styles where he says, therefore, there's a reason why it's therefore. So he's been talking about something, and now, therefore, here's my conclusion. So we have to watch out what's happening, what he's saying after the therefore. But let's quickly review what he's been saying in the first four chapters of Romans. Paul argued that no one is righteous, and all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And after reading these first four chapters, the one who is reading it should have a conclusion that he is a sinner, and he needs a savior. That's what he would get from those passages. So Paul went on to say that the gospel reveals a righteousness that is by faith. And he proved this by explaining in chapter 4. I understand Cliff covered this last week. In chapter 4, that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And it was credited to him as righteousness. It was given to him. It was put in his bank account that he is righteous because of God, because he believed what God said. But God already made him righteous. And that's what happened to us too. As Christians, when we believe in Christ, God credits to us his righteousness, Jesus' righteousness. And that's what he said in 4:25 of Romans. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. He died and he was raised again. He died for our sins, for our forgiveness, for our righteousness, and he was raised again for our justification. Now that's a big word, justification. So let's talk about that a little bit. Justification, it's a legal term that means to acquit, to declare you not guilty. You are released, you are free. Justification, it's one of the most powerful words that Paul used. And this is God's grace at its sweetest and most potent power. He justified us. He made us righteous because Jesus paid the price for our sin in our place. The booklet that we have in our GCI, We Believe, defines justification this way. Justification marks the fact of our being both forgiven and reconciled to God, sharing in Jesus' right relationship with the triune God. He reconciled us to God, now sharing in Jesus' right relationship with God. See, Jesus became one of us. He died for us. He was raised again. And through him, we now have a right relationship with God. One author compared it to what we use in word processing. Justify. What do you do when you justify in word? You line up the word software. When you put justify, it justifies all the lines in your typing so that everything lines up on the left and lines up on the right. So it's like our book, the Bible, is perfectly lined up on the edges. So it flushes all the lines of the text in relationship to the paper where it's printed on. So I like that analogy somehow because it's limited, but somehow God and in Christ has made us lined up properly in relationship to God and in relationship to one another. So because of Christ, we have been made righteous and justified, according to Paul. I love reading translations side by side, and I'm using Bible Gateway, and it allows you to read 4 or 5 translations in one screen. I have a big screen, so I can read a lot of translations at the same time. So I wanted to share Amplified Bible, and instead of the Message, that's actually the TPT, the Passion Translation. But this half of a verse 1 in Amplified Bible says, therefore, since we have been justified, that is, acquitted of sin, declared blameless before God by faith. And in the Passion Translation, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. That's amazing. Because of what Jesus Christ has done at the cross, we are now declared flawless and righteous in God's eyes. What about the word faith? What does faith mean in all these transactions? Does it mean I have to contribute? I have a contribution to this salvation, to this righteousness and justification thing that happened? Is my faith necessary? That's one of the questions that we had back then when we were changing to grace. Does our salvation depend on how great my faith is? No, the answer is no, because then salvation will not be grace anymore. Salvation will then be dependent on your works. So I'd like to read a passage in our booklet again, the God revealed in Jesus Christ. The good news, my quoting here, is that our salvation does not depend on what we do. Our repentance and faith are simply responses to what God has given us. It's our response to what we have already in Christ. Our faith and unbelief and our repentant attitude is the response. And it continues here, as Thomas Torrance explained, if we want to think of faith as a human activity, then we must think of Jesus as having done that for us as well. Just as he died for us, he lived righteously for us. As our representative, he presents to God a perfect response on behalf of all humanity. We are saved by his obedience, and that includes his faith. We are saved by his obedience, and that includes his faith. Our salvation rests on Jesus, the perfect foundation. Unquote. So he did it all for us. Even our faith is based on the faith of Christ that he did when he was alive. Because faith is not the main ingredient in this salvation and justification. It is God's grace in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the center of all things. Now that we have established that we are justified, we are righteous, then Paul will go on to say, because of that, through faith, justified, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. So now we are counting the blessings of being justified, of being righteous. Paul is telling us here a lot of positive things. This passage is full of encouragement and of positive uplifting comments. In other passages, we have a lot of corrections. But this passage in verses 1 to 11 is full of positive encouragement for us. I see three blessings here because of our justification. The first one is peace of God with God and access into his grace and hope of the glory of God. And there are more coming after this verse. But let's just unpack a little bit. Peace with God. What does peace with God mean? It's the word shalom. Peace with God is having this good relationship with God. And there's peace that comes because of that to us. I remember when we were newly married, my wife and I, of course we were not perfect yet. We went through LQs, lovers' quarrels, right? Where I have to go sleep in the couch some nights because I did something she wasn't happy about. And I can remember the turmoil inside of me during that time. You can't sleep, you can't think right. But when the reconciliation happened, it's a bliss. It's a happiness and joy. And multiply that 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times with our relationship with God. Now that we know we are righteous because of what Christ has done, we have peace in our minds, in our hearts, that we are good with God. Whatever happens in this life now, whatever we do, it's good with God. We are in good relationship with God. I read an article or in the news lately about this author. She was part of a large family. They were in TV, in reality TV. But during the 60s and 70s, her parents followed this legalistic Christian preacher in Texas. And they obeyed all the restrictions of life, like no pants for women and all the other restrictions of living. Sounds familiar? Some of us may have gone through that. But this way of thinking made her so afraid of God. There was a certain fear, and there was no peace. Even at one point when she was riding in a car, she told this story that she was so scared of God because they were playing music with drums in the car. And that was a no-no, according to this preacher. God will punish you if you do that. And so she was scared, and she told this in her book that she was expecting a lightning and they will crash and she will die. Because she did it. She listened to a music with drums. The good news is she eventually met her future husband, and through him, she saw the grace of God. And now she's writing her experience. And this is a good witness for the grace of God, for the grace of God and the peace that a person can have because of Jesus Christ. And the second gift that we have, or blessing, is access to grace. This is access to grace is referring to the access of the Jews to the Holy of Holies. If you remember when Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn apart, which symbolized the entrance or the availability of the Holy of Holies to all people. And through Christ, we now have access to the Holy of Holies. It's like a child of a king. Because he is a child of a king, he is allowed to go enter into his king's father's court anytime. And this word has that meaning as well. Entrance to the king through the favor of another. And we stand in grace, not in law. We can access God anytime now because of what Jesus Christ has done. And because of what Jesus has done, we have hope of the glory of God. And this is the future glory that we are longing for. The peace of God that took care of our past, our sins. God has forgiven us. Our access to grace takes care of our present because we can come to God anytime now. And the hope of glory takes care of our future. This hope that we have because we now have been justified is making us rejoice in God. That word boast can be translated rejoice as well. We can rejoice now that we have justification because we have a hope of a glorious future with God. Let's continue on verses 3 to 5 and count more blessings here. In verse 3, not only so, meaning we have all these blessings already, not only so, there's more. Paul is saying, we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And I count this as one blessing. You can count all of this as different blessings, but the result of suffering is Christian character. We go through life. We, in this age now, in this country, we don't get persecuted because of our religion as much as during times, the time of Paul, or in other countries where Christianity is not allowed. Persecution still happens to people. And I think that is what Paul is saying here, suffering because of persecutions. But we can also apply this to our lives now. We go through different trials in life. We have been justified, but doesn't take all these trials away from our life. We still live in this earth. We have health problems, relationship problems, and financial problems, and other problems that we go through. But because of our justification, we rejoice in that. We glory in that suffering, through our sufferings. Because for us believers, trials work for us, not against us. No amount of suffering can separate us from the love of God. Instead, suffering and trials bring us closer to God. So if you're going through trials right now, it's not a separation. It's a time for us to get closer to God. Every time I go through difficult times at work or some situations, my first prayer is, Lord, please help me. Right there and then, I just close my eyes and ask God, please help me. And this creates this character in us. As we endure suffering, as we persevere, and as we gain patience, we learn patience through our sufferings, we also achieve Christian character. And that is the next blessing for us is in verse 5, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's another blessing that we have, who has been given to us. See, this poured into our hearts, it's like pouring a bucket of water into something, into our hearts. That's the picture, the word picture that Paul is saying here. God's love has been poured into us through the Holy Spirit who was given us. If you think about this, I was just overwhelmed by this thought when I was looking at these blessings. Can you imagine this? We have the love of God in our hearts, in our minds. And you know what? We also have God in us. The Holy Spirit, who is God, is also in us. That's beyond my mind, imagination to grasp. God is in me. God is in you. Wow. That's all the blessing I need. God in me through the Holy Spirit in us. So I'd like to read this passage through the Passion Translation in verse 3. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance, and patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappointing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Isn't that a beautiful translation? I can't better in words explaining that more than that. So depending on how you count, we already have 6 blessings through these verses because of the justification that we have. These blessings are present now. We have them now and today and forever. Are these blessings secured? We're justified and righteous. We are saved. We're good with God, but are these secured? Are these forever? Is it a done deal? And that's what Paul describes in the next verses. As we can see here in verses 6 and 8 and also in verse 10, these are parallel verses. As you can Notice through the colors that I wrote here. Let's read verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. And that's the same pattern in verse 8. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And in verse 10, we were enemies. I don't have that there yet, but we'll see that later. So back to verse 6. This is the declaration of God's great love for us. God did not wait for us to recognize our sinfulness and ask for forgiveness. He did not wait for us to recognize our condition. He came when we were still powerless and ungodly and sinners. Christ died for us. The Almighty God loved us so completely that He sent His Son to die for us while we were sinners and powerless, ungodly, and enemies of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This is the verse that helped me during those difficult times, because it's clearly telling me God did it for me already. I was a sinner. I was powerless. Christ died for me. So there's nothing I can do now to undo what He did. Whatever I do, it's not going to undo what God's love is in Christ through the cross. It's not going to negate anything that He did, because He did it before I am even righteous. He declared His love for us while we were sinners and powerless. He died for us. It was His own decision. And if you read through the scriptures and Paul's explanation, this sacrifice was done even before the foundation of the world. The Trinity already envisioned this, that Christ will redeem humanity. Very rarely in verse 7 will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. Who are we? Do we deserve Jesus Christ's death? Yes, because of God's love for us. We were not good, we were not righteous, but Christ died for us anyway. God loved us first. And then in verse 9 and 10, since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more, you see that word again, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? What does that mean? What is God's wrath? We have been justified by His blood, by His death. How much more? It's an argument of from less to greater. We were sinners, now we are children. We were ungodly, now we are justified. When He saved us when we were ungodly, now that we are children of God, how much more will we be saved from God's wrath? And this word, God's wrath, indicates the future judgment seat with Christ. But the judgment at that time, when we come to the judgment seat, is you are forgiven, you are justified, you are not guilty. Because while we were God's enemies, that's another parallel, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son. How much more? When we were reconciled, now that we are reconciled, how much more shall we be saved through His life? So we are saved through His life. We have been forgiven through His death and justified. We are saved through His life. What does this mean? It means that the risen, resurrected Jesus Christ is our life. Because He was raised, we now have eternal life with Him. We have a union, a spiritual union with the risen Christ now. As Paul says somewhere, we are seated with Him already in the heavenly realms. So through His life, we have life as well. In Christ's death, if Christ's death accomplished so much for us, how much more will He do for us in His life as He intercedes for us in heaven? So that's another blessing that we have. We have the salvation secured for us because of Christ's life, because He lives and He was raised again. Now let's read the last verse for the final blessing. Verse 11, not only this, so again He's saying, there's more. We also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We rejoice because now we have been reconciled. God has reconciled the whole world to Himself in Christ. We have been brought into a fellowship with God, into a right relationship. Jesus called us friends. We have a good friend in Jesus. Not only that, we are also God's children. And we rejoice in that. So how many blessings did we count here? Peace with God. We have access to grace. We have hope of the glory of God. We attain Christian character. We have the love of God in us through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. We have been saved. We are secured in our salvation because Christ lives and we are reconciled and we have a great relationship with our God. If you think about it, all of these blessings can be summed up in one person, Jesus Christ. He is everything for us because He did it all for us. We have Him. We have all the blessings in the world and in beyond in eternity. So I hope these reminders will give us encouragement and strength to move on in life, difficulties through the challenges that we have. This is the Easter preparation season. And as we meditate on these blessings, on the blessings that we have because of what Jesus Christ has done, let us continue to focus on who Jesus Christ is. So when Paul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, he asked, "Who are you, Jesus?" And it took him years to find out who Jesus is. And he finally wrote these in his epistles. And this is what we have. We can rejoice in this. We have to celebrate this, these blessings. So in conclusion, I just want to read. This one is from the Message translation. This is correct now. The Message translation. The last three verses. "Now that we are set right with God by means of this sacrificial death, the consummate blood sacrifice, there is no longer a question of being at odds with God in any way. If, when we were at our worst, we were put on friendly terms with God by the sacrificial death of His Son, now that we are at our best, just think of how our lives will expand and deepen by means of His resurrection life. Now that we have actually received this amazing friendship with God, we are no longer content to simply say it in plodding prose. We sing and shout our praises to God through Jesus the Messiah. We sing and shout our praises to God through Jesus Christ, through Jesus the Messiah. Hallelujah! What a Savior we have. Amen? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for allowing us to have a deeper understanding and deeper appreciation of all the blessings that we received because of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the center of everything that we have. And He is the blessing that will always be with us for all eternity. And we thank you for these blessings and for His blessing in us. So we thank you, pray for your blessing and dismissal now. In Jesus Christ's most holy name, amen.